We're back. It's the Morning Hookup on ESPN Lincoln. Will Wilson. I am joined by Thew Malone. You know him. He's been in the house before.
Will, do you have to go dust off all the 80s records when I come in then?
You know, a little bit. I think I played a little bit of 80s when you weren't here. It hasn't been much. Is Leonard Skinner 80s? Is that?
I think that would be considered.
I'll play some Skinner when we have Brian on at 10:20. Brian Munson with HuskerOnline.com. He will join the show with us at 10:20. There's actually a lot of recruiting stuff picking up. I just saw a report that Frost is visiting the number 2 defensive back in the nation, and he's joined with Ron Brown and Mickey Joseph. So Mickey Joseph is already out on the road working for the Huskers. You love to see it.
I do. A guy with obviously that prowess in recruiting, being able to go out there. And Mickey also, if you look at his track record too, when he was at LSU, Ed Orgeron would talk about how Mickey Joseph would do a great job not only recruiting that wide receiver room, but they would send him in and kind of do have the polishing finish on recruiting, you know, the linebacker position and different other positions too. So I think that's a good sign for Nebraska to get those two out working together and Mickey having a hand at some potential future Huskers.
That's according to HuskerOnline.com. That's how I know that Frost and Mickey are there checking out that prospect. But tonight, Thew, we got more Nebraska ball action. Michigan comes to town to take on the Huskers at Pinnacle Bank Arena tonight at 6 o'clock, not 7, 6 o'clock. Did you watch that Indiana game? Did you catch any of that on Saturday?
I just caught some highlights. I know that we jumped out, had an early lead, weren't able to hang on to that. But that's how basketball goes, too.
Especially in, Assembly Hall. You know, an early 10-point lead isn't going to last on many teams at Indiana.
Right. When I called in yesterday, I kind of, we talked about this. I don't know what it is. A lot's been made about how often we get scheduled Ohio State in football. I think 8 out of 11 years we've caught them.
I haven't played them in like 5.
I think the same people that like us that much kind of do that basketball scheduling as well, too.
Yeah.
Because we always seem to get, whether it be the Purdue's, the Michigan's, or just some real tough games
yes.
out of the gate, which I guess that's fine.
It's the Big Ten. Yeah, like you can make the argument that that's what you get when you join the conference, but I'm sure there's teams that get Penn State in the first two, every now
right.
and then. Or I'm sure teams cheer when they get us in the first two.
Right. Well, and, we've talked about it, here for a month or two about how we have something, to go out and prove. And I made the bold prediction that I felt that we were going to be in the top 4 or 5 in conference standings. So for that to happen,
you're not alone.
You need to go out and do it. Obviously, the bottom line is that ball needs to start going through the hoop a little bit more.
Did you see what Hoiberg said yesterday?
I know that he had an announcement. I didn't get a chance to see it all.
Well, there was a few news to talk about. But you're talking about the ball not going in the rim. Listen to what he said. He said, "Quote: I did the whole psychological get up on the ladder and put two balls through the hoop. Sometimes that thing looks like a little thimble, which it does right now. But I put two balls and they both fit in the rim. That's a big ass hoop, and our guys need to understand that."
Technically, you can do that because they're 9-inch basketballs, and the diameter of the hoop is 18 inches. So,
you could do it. Science says you could do it.
Yeah, science says you can do it. And you ask any of those guys that shooting can be as much psychological at times as it can be physical. We talk about hitters going through slumps and it being in their head. The same thing can be said with the shooters, because I know that while Casey has shown some signs, I think we're yet to really see him get on track to what he could potentially do. I know you talked about a little bit yesterday about Latt being that stretch 4, and what was it? He hit 86 out of 100 or something last year. That was the big news. He hit 86 out of 100 shots, whether three pointers or whatever it was.
Yeah, I think that was Latt. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you remember that when he came in, and there was a lot to do about that.
Yeah,
and out to CJ Wilcher. Here's a guy who came in, and I like this about him. He is not short of confidence. We've seen him make a couple, but he's yet to really find that rhythm too. And it almost makes you wonder, do you have too many shooters out there to where a certain one can maybe get in rhythm? Now, I know Fred has done a great job of being able to identify who's on early on, and you'll see them kind of play a little bit more. And, you know, like I said yesterday too, Henry T and I and Xavier, we went down there and watched a preseason practice. And Keon Edwards, to me, was the best shooter down there. Like, that guy didn't miss. And you see him, he's been inserted into that starting role. I don't know if that's to kind of build his confidence, but you haven't really, I think, seen his full ability yet, too. And you start to wonder, at what point are these guys all going to turn the corner at the same time?
Well, can they, though? Because when I'm reading things right now, like, of course, coaches know how to scout. They know that Nebraska lives and dies by the three. So what are they going to do? Just guard us to not make any three. So what are we supposed to do if that's happening? We got to figure out something else we could do if they're going to be taking out the three-point shot.
Well, then you better hope that your Virgin Walker pick and roll, which I will say this, I don't think enough has been said about the job that Derek Walker does in that pick and roll game. He does an excellent job, and it's nice. It's something that we have not been used to, having a guy in that paint that finishes around that hoop. Especially for being I know that he's 6'8", you know, 230, 240, whatever he is, but that still in the Big Ten is considered an undersized five.
Yes.
But for what he's been able to do as far as getting you points in the paint and being able to finish a lot on those pick and rolls, that's nice too. I know that it's, to me, and I don't mean to sit here and nitpick. I mean, obviously I'm sitting here on a radio talking about it and not coaching, so I don't know everything. But I watch, and there's a lot of standing around outside the arc, mm-hmm. is what I've noticed.
Got to move without the ball.
Exactly, and I don't see that enough for these guys to get open to find the shots. It's
gotta,
like,
get open.
You know, if you're sitting there waiting for the ball, it's a good chance the defender's probably sitting there waiting for you to get the ball too.
Yeah.
And I think you've seen that to start to get a little bit better, where we've kind of gone away from the street ball. Well, and I know that Coach Hoiberg, you know, has an NBA pedigree, but I don't want to see NBA basketball per se. You know, where you have three guys just standing on one side of the court while Verge is trying to take his guy off the dribble one on one.
We've seen that many times.
It's not gonna work in this conference.
No, it doesn't work. When we've seen this team get down in the dumps, you know, it's because we're seeing a lot of that one on one ball. Now, I mentioned how we need to find something else to do because they're gonna be taking out the three. They know what we do to win. It's make the three. So if they're taking it away, you know, what do? You try and drive and get to the rim. We've seen that. We've still haven't had success with that. We've seen Verge trying to get to the rim. It hasn't been nice.
He can get there, but there's so many times that you know, the shot may be a little off balance just because of it. He's a little undersized.
Yes, but you know, Bryce, he's got height, but you know what? He really needs to go to that rim stronger. He needs to.
Well, with Bryce too, Bryce has got a real quick move, but you got to remember, here's a guy who's 6'7", 180. And so with Bryce, it's just a matter of putting on a little bit of size to be able to take that a little bit stronger to the hoop in this conference with some of those rim protectors that you're going to go against. You've got to be careful, though, when you have a guy with that kind of skill set, to not bulk them up too much to where they still have you know, that talent and that fluidity that makes them special, too. So it's tough. You know, you look at this and you've got some senior leadership on that team, whether it be, you know, Trey or, you know, Kobe Webster, guys like that. But for the most part, it's still a relatively young team. You know, when you talk about Bryce, Casey, you know, CJ is still really young. Edwards is young too. Eduardo Andre. So you've got a lot of young pieces there.
It's a big game. You know, you win this one, you're not 0-2 in conference and bottom of a stack. You're 1-1, and we talk about this stretch that we're on. I would definitely take 2-3 in this 5-game stretch with Kansas State coming up and Auburn coming up as well. I would definitely, if you can get tonight and K-State. I would definitely take 2 and 3 in this really tough stretch. Now, whatever happens tonight happens, but we do know one thing. Nebraska will be without one of their assistant coaches, Matt Abdumase, announced that he will be taking a medical leave of absence to address some issues related to his health. Mm-hmm. Abdumase is 36. He is clearly the lead recruiter on this team.
Yes.
You can give him credit for really building the roster that we have right now. Theo, it's always important to take care of the health.
Yes. You know, your health, yourself, that comes above your family. The grades, obviously, that stuff comes before basketball. But like you alluded to, this guy has done a great job of having the connections to land a lot of the pieces that are currently on this team. So wish him the best. You know, hopefully we can get him back up and running 100% as quick as possible. I will tell you this much, and Will, maybe you can attest to this. I wouldn't call it holding grudges per se, but I'm one of those fans that just doesn't forget. And I remember when old PBA opened up about 6 years ago or something like that. The first opposing team to win at PBA was Michigan.
The only team to win in PBA that entire season was Michigan.
And wasn't it by 1 point?
One point. And it was at last second too. And there was a non-charge call that was not called on Walter Pitchford. I think it was Pitchford, or it might have been Smith. Might have been Leslie.
Oh, Leslie?
I think it was Leslie, and they didn't call anything.
See, isn't that great that us fans can hold on to those grudge moments like that?
That was a hell of a game. Our coaches coached the hell out of that game. But go on, sorry.
No, absolutely not. And
I'll hold that grudge right there with you, man. Definitely.
You know, it's Michigan. I mean, it's a storied program. They have history. We don't have history. It's a team that's trying to stay where they're at, and you have a home team who wants to get where that team is at, and it's got all of the ingredients for us to come out there and put a game together.
We'll see what happens. We're going to make our final predictions at the last segment of the show. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Nebraska women's basketball picked up a big win last night on the road at Minnesota. Theo and I watched the game. We'll talk about that next.